Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Prachalani, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi Gaura Karanda,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shatapyaya karimayam,
Shisahaya karimayam,
Veda kulam tapave vigitam,
Veda kulam tapave vigitam,
Mottasattam avigyasya,
Mottasattam avigyasya,
Kimasattam avirbhane,
Kimasattam avirbhane,
said that there's a river flowing in both directions. The Hariyastas understood the purport of this statement. Material nature functions in two ways, by creation and dissolution. Thus, the river of material nature flows both ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls in this river is submerged in its waves, and since the current is swifter than near the banks of the river, he's unable to get out. What will be the benefit of performing food activities in the river of Maya? Purport, one may be submerged in the waves of the river of Maya, but one may also get free from the waves by coming to the banks of knowledge and austerity. Near these banks, however, the waves are very strong. If one does not understand how he is being tossed by the waves, but simply engages in temporary guru activities, what benefit will he derive? In Brahma Samhita, there is this statement. Maya Shakti Durga is in charge of Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, creation and dissolution, and she acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord. When one falls in the river of nations, he's always tossed here and there by the waves, but the same Maya can also save him when he surrenders to Krishna or becomes Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is knowledge and austerity. A Krishna conscious person takes knowledge to the Vedic literature at the same time. He must practice austerity.
To attain freedom from material life,
one must take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if one very busily engaged in so-called advancement of science, what benefit will he derive? If one is carried away by the waves of nature, what is the meaning of being a great scientist or philosopher? Mundane science and philosophy are also material creations. We must understand how Maya works and how one can be released from the tossing waves of the river of missions. That is one's first duty. Translation: material nature functions in two ways, by creation and dissolution. Thus, the river of material nature flows both ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls in this river is submerged in its waves, and since the current is swifter near the banks of the river, he's unable to get out. What will be the benefit of performing food activities in that river of Maya? So, Narada Muni gave the example of a river flowing in both directions. Normally one cannot see such a thing. The river will flow in one direction. And in fact, probably impossible, it can flow in two directions simultaneously. Or very, very unusually it does. So, obviously it's not something in this real world, but it is an analogy or a symbol of something else. So here the interpretation of the Haryastas is that this refers to material nature, because it does two things. It causes creation, and then it does the opposite. It does two opposite functions almost simultaneously. Sometimes there's creation, sometimes there's destruction. So this is the nature of Prakriti. Of course, Prakriti itself is eternal. It's not created or destroyed. But then, by the influence of the Supreme Lord, by His will, it begins to manifest different items like mahatattva and ahankara and mind and senses and sense objects and material elements. And these combine together and form universes, and in the universes, Brahma makes all sorts of objects and bodies. So it's these bodies made out of the elements which are temporary. They are created, and they appear for some time, and then they disappear. So they're created and destroyed. This is the nature of material world. This process continually goes on. Until, of course, the Lord decides to stop everything, and everything withdraws into Prakriti, and Prakriti remains again. So in any case, Prakriti is eternal, but the products of Prakriti are the things which are created and destroyed. So this is the nature of Prakriti. It always happens in this way. Prakriti creates things and destroys things. So there are actually four different types of destruction mentioned in Bhagavatam. One is what we know in the material world is the objects created and destroyed. Individual destruction. So flower is being created and it'll wither away and die. Body is created, body is destroyed. Then we have a bigger destruction at the end of the day of Brahma. The water rises up to Svargaloka, and then everything is destroyed. All the living entities disappear. Everything merges into Brahma. Brahma merges into Mahavishnu, into Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So there is a temporary destruction of things within the universe. And then the next morning again, Brahma comes out and he starts creating all the planetary systems and the bodies of the living entities again. So that's another type of destruction. And that happens every day, 360 days for 100 years of Brahma's life. Then we have another type of destruction, final destruction, Pralaya, when Brahma himself disappears after 100 years, and the whole universe and Brahma himself disappear. And not one universe, but all the universes disappear completely. They no longer exist. Everything goes back into Prakriti, and Prakriti goes into Mahavishnu. So that's a third type of destruction. So we can say, well, what other type of destruction is there? The fourth type of destruction is individual. The individual destroys his bondage to the material world and gets liberated. So this happens for an individual, not for everyone. And this is a permanent destruction for the individual. In other words, the subtle body, gross body, and karma, etc., ignorance, are all destroyed. And then no longer has to come back to the material world again. So that is the fourth type of destruction. So of those, that one is the only positive one. The other ones, creation, destruction, keep continually taking place all the time, and that goes on forever. So we have bodies created, destroyed, created, destroyed. We have days of Brahma, creation, destruction, creation, destruction. We have universes created and destroyed with Pralaya. So within that, the jivas are going on with their material bodies according to their karmas. So the only destruction which is positive is when we end all of this completely as an individual. And the only way we do that, of course, is by destroying the cause of all of this. So the philosophical cause is ignorance, or avidya. And avidya gives rise to material desires. Material desires gives rise to actions. Actions give rise to karma. And body after body after body of the material world. So we have to get rid of that avidya. So, then what is the process of getting rid of avidya? Get vidya. Get knowledge. So this is what the jnanis try to do. We will get knowledge, we will destroy ignorance. So it looks very logical. You just get knowledge and then you destroy your ignorance. And that if it's accomplished, of course, then yes, you really destroy that ignorance, identity with material things, etc., permanently. Then you can get liberation or mukti from the material world. This, of course, is one of the subjects of Bhagavatam. Liberation or mukti. So that is possible through the process of jnana and also through yoga. However, there's another type of vidya. Vidya, of course, means knowledge, but vidya also refers to bhakti. So in the Brahma Sutras and in Upanishads, often it says vidya is the cause of eternal life, is the cause of liberation, etc. So jnanis will take that as jnana. The devotees will take vidya as bhakti. But therefore, by the process of bhakti, one also destroys ignorance. How is that? Because by bhakti, we establish our relationship with the Supreme Lord. If that is established, there's no more ignorance. So this is the process followed in the Bhagavatam, rather than jnana, the process of bhakti is followed. So if we want to get rid of that river of creation and destruction in the material world, and karma, etc., then we have to take shelter of the process of bhakti. That is real vidya. So by doing that, not only we destroy the bondage of the material world, but we become situated eternally with the Supreme Lord. So that is the goal of the devotees, to be situated with the Lord and eternally serve Him. and through that the jiva derives his full satisfaction and the Lord also derives bliss. So that is the position of the Bhagavatam in relation to solving this problem of the material world. So material nature is very mysterious, as is said here, because it does two things. It creates and destroys. Normally we think maybe it should create, but why it has to destroy also? But that is its very nature, produced by the Supreme Lord. And it cannot be avoided. As long as there is property, there must be creation, destruction going on. It is inherent in the material world. So if we don't like this, then we have to go beyond the material world. We have to get out of the material world. So, spiritual world also is made of matter, but a different type of matter. It is not achit. It is chit. Chit substance. It is fully conscious. It is not ignorant. It is full of knowledge. It is not created or destroyed. And its forms are not created and destroyed. It is eternal. So that place, that location is completely different from the material one. So it doesn't function in the same way of having creation and destruction inbuilt in it. Rather, it is eternal and serves the purposes of the Supreme Lord to create bliss in the spiritual world. So the matter or prakriti, what is its purpose? Ultimately, its purpose is to give trouble to the living entity. And at the same time, give an illusion of enjoyment. So the creative aspect gives the enjoyment, and the destructive one gives the misery. We get things, we enjoy, and then we lose them. So we get a mixture in our happiness caused by material things. In the spiritual world, things are eternal. So therefore, the happiness is not interrupted by destruction at any point. It is continual. But the great difference in the happiness is that the happiness is not centered on one's own enjoyment. The real happiness is satisfying the Supreme Lord. That creates the happiness for the jiva in the spiritual world. So completely opposite of the material world. So material world is based on kama. Spiritual world is based on prema. And both are functions of the jiva. So that kama has to be transformed into prema, then we're in a situation of actual happiness.
ప్రభుపాదకి జయ గోప్రమనందీ.